Donald Driver practiced in a limited fashion today. He took place in the jog-through, and then he went into the Hudson Center and worked with the rehab group. So I'll have more information on Donald in the morning.
I'd like to see not as far along once you finally got to see him that you were hoping he would be after.
Well, the response has been very positive as far as Donald Driver coming off the bye week. He feels much better than he did going into the New York Jet game, so that's encouraging.
The Vikings have had so many, headlines surrounding them this year. I guess, do you knock on wood some days where you kind of, you basically avoided all that stuff again, this year and last year as well, for the distractions and that sort of stuff?
Well, every season is a challenge. Every season has different types of challenges, and the most important thing is to just stay focused on your own football team. So you can learn from other situations that go on around the league. It's all part of continuing education. Those are some things we have done in the past, particularly with the young team, but we should mostly just focus on our own house.
But I guess, is that a testament to just your locker room full of guys that day?
Well, if you want to compliment us, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's kind of what I was going for.
Thanks.
Mike, speaking of things you can control, though, when you're facing a team that has had some problems and some distractions, obviously Dallas had gone through it before you played them. How important is it to get off to a quick start against a team like that and maybe kind of take control of the game and not let them hang around or maybe break their spirit a little bit?
I think it's an excellent point, but in reality, you always want to get off to a quick start, and that's important. Our focus is really, what they've shown on film. They're a very talented team. There's so much calm in film. You're just watching the last 4 years of them playing in the dome. Last night, myself, I'm talking about. It's a different game over there. So we're really focused on that. I mean, the noise is different. So the offense, we got to make sure we have a lot of extra work with crowd noise this week. They play a little differently as far as how they come at you in the dome. So, that's really what we're focused on. As far as, their press clippings and things like that, it's really a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. It's a waste of focus. We know we're going into a tough, hard-nosed football game. That's always the case when these two teams get together. So that's what we'll focus on.
After a good training camp and a really sharp game against the Colts, you still talked about before you got in the season about team identity, and then you had such changeover in personnel because of the injuries. Did this team find an identity in those last couple of victories that you have? Do you think you're set with what you're looking for?
I think it's clearly evident just from a statistical standpoint that our identity is where it needs to be, and is definitely headed in the right direction. I mean, you just take the turnover ratio is something that we invest a lot of time into. I mean, we invest a lot of time in our practice structure, in our meetings, and we feel that we have the athletes that are trained, in particular with their ball skills, and it's something that we try to heighten time and time again. So just our turnover ratio now being plus six. I mean, our football team needs to be double digits, plus 10 and 10 and above. That's a goal that I personally have set, and we've been able to do that the last 2 years. When it's all said and done, I think that's where we need to be, and we're heading that direction.
Mike, the offense is really good on third down against Dallas. What you guys had a week to digest, what did you guys do well there that maybe you weren't doing earlier?
We didn't really do anything, magical schematically. We executed better. Our pass protection was good against a very good front. I think we were seven out of eight in the first half, and I thought Aaron did a very good job, of going through his progressions. He extended some plays, so just did a much better job executing this, and it's a credit to our players.
The TV guys made it sound like you guys might have cut down the volume of plays you're using.
I've been cutting throughout the year. I think that we probably got a little too too heavy in the beginning of the year, and just the fact we're coming out of training camp, the norm is to go real low on the beginning of the year, but you know, with the number of the number of weapons that we had to start the season, we probably went a little higher in certain situations. So it's not really a big deal. We're talking about a handful of plays, but it really comes down to concentrating on the concepts that we can hang our hat on. And frankly, we went into the Dallas game. We just acknowledge these are the three or four things we feel we do very well, and that's the way we played the game. So it's going to take a little different approach playing against a common opponent. You know, playing Minnesota twice a year, it's a division game. There's a lot of off-season work that goes into each team studying each other, and so there's a little bit more of a chess match the second time around when you play your division opponents.
Mike, back in April of 2009, were you in the draft room at the time the Matthews trade was consummated? Were you in the room?
Yes, I assume I was.
Do you remember the scene at all? Because that's so unique for Ted to do something like that, sort of character.
Well, it was something that didn't just happen, in the draft room. I mean, it was there was a lot of conversation that went on prior to the draft. So, Clay Matthews was someone that we were very high on, and Ted and I actually had talked about that scenario a couple of days before that. So, is that the answer you're looking for?
So you weren't surprised, I guess.
Oh no, we wanted to get Clay Matthews. I mean, that was something that was on. I mean, there's always players in the draft that you target and you hope they're at a certain point in the round when you're picking, but you also have to calculate the risk of going up and getting certain players, and that was something that was premeditated, discussed, and we were able to get that done. And it's obviously been a huge benefit to our football team. Clay has made a big impact.
The trend in the league is obviously to hire younger head coaches. With what Dom's done with your defense, I know you wouldn't want to lose him, but do you think he's done the kind of job that merits people talking about him again as maybe getting a shot to be a head coach again?
Absolutely. I mean, if I was an owner in the National Football League, I'd hire Dom Capers. I mean, it's just anybody who's ever worked with him, anybody who's ever competed against him, and then now I have an opportunity to work with him and see the type of person that he is, on a personal level, and his professionalism, his work ethic, definitely. I think Dom's an outstanding football coach.
Just talk about some of the challenges of stopping a guy like Peterson. Is it just a bunch of helmets on the ball? When he has it, he's just so dangerous.
Well, he's such a powerful runner. He can turn a 2 and 3 yard run into the 8, 9 yard run consistently. So you have to do an excellent job of low tackling him and make sure you wrap him up and rally to the football. So, and then on top of that, he has the breakaway speed and the tenacity in his running style to finish runs. So anytime you play against Adrian, you have to, your run defense has to bring its A game. I'd say there's no secret. Like, every season's so different. This is no different. We focus on winning games and improving. You probably get tired of hearing me say it, but I say it to the football team as many times during the week as I just believe as a team you must grow. And improvement has to start in week one and continue. If you're going to talk about November and December being the most important time of year, and you're going to be playing your best football in November, December, so everything you do from a schedule standpoint, training standpoint, coaching, a big part of it is emphasizing the things that you want your team to look like week in and week out, and that's something that we've always stressed here.
Mike, every year you go into the Metrodome, you know what the noise factor is going to be, and it's going to play some part. When you practice, have you ever changed things to try to figure out this thing, the noise factor? Is there really nothing you can do other than just the noise you do in practice to prepare for it? I mean, have people told you little secrets that maybe you've tried to change over the years?
Well, I mean, it's loud. I think you definitely adjust the way you may play. Some teams do, some teams don't. But really, it's like playing in front of a big, you know, bad stereo system. You just take a couple extra Advil and you go play. So it's clearly probably the noisiest place. I'd say the Superdome. I've been in New Orleans where there's a couple games I recall down there being extremely loud. But it's something that when it's your first time, you definitely take a step back. But you know, it's just, you know, getting Brian Bulaga is something we've talked about, you know, this week, making sure he's ready to go. So we'll blare the stereo real loud tomorrow and Friday in practice. And I know Aaron's a lot more comfortable. The guys that have played in it now are a lot more comfortable with it, and they know what to expect.
I think you're 9-3 in domes, though. I know. I'm sure everybody does the talent count stuff. But I guess what do you attribute the offense's success to? I mean,
well, 9-3 on the road, that itself is impressive. So, just, you know, you got to credit the players and the practice structure and the focus, because it takes extra focus to play in a noisy environment. I think that's obvious to everybody. So. Our guys have been disciplined and focused when we're on the road in the dome, so it's really a credit to the players.
Mike, how has Brandon Jackson specifically progressed since Ryan went down?
Well, Brandon, he's just done a very good job with his opportunities, and I think everybody questioned the fact that he could be a three-down back in it, and that was really never the case. He just was never really given the opportunity to play as much on first and second down, and I think any time you have a particular running back that can play on third down, you know he's ready to play on first and second down as far as handling the amount of carries in his specific case. So he's just really gotten better with opportunities, and Edgar does a good job of, you know, staying on the fundamentals. And it's really part of the plan of, you know, our whole coaching staff continue to coach and stress the fundamentals throughout the year. But, you know, very coachable, hardworking. He has an extra gear that I think sometimes surprises people. He's a very powerful man. Just the way, you know, the way he's built, with you know, his leg drive and so forth. So he's not an easy guy to tackle, but he's doing a better job week in and week out, and it really comes with getting more opportunities.
Mike, after a guy like AJ Hawk didn't play in the opener, did you kind of two part here? Did you A, have to say anything to him to kind of keep him going, and B, how has he played since then? You know, because he's had to take on so much more responsibility.
Well, AJ Hawk's a professional. He's a blue collar, you know, bring your lunch pail type of person every single day, and you appreciate with that with AJ, and just can never say enough about players and individuals like AJ Hawk, because that's what team football is all about. And how he's playing, I think he's done an outstanding job. He has total command of the defense. Things have been running very smoothly. With him in front of defense, has played at a high level, has been productive both in, you know, in the pressure schemes and in the run defense and in coverage. So very pleased, particularly over the last 4 or 5 weeks, the way AJ's played.
Is there any part of you that's surprised at the amount of production you've gotten on Sam Shields this
game? Well, I don't think anybody can stand here and say, you know, Sam Shields would be your starting corner week 10, you know, especially when the way he arrived here, you know, as a free agent. But you never questioned the ability. You could see that from day one. But he's a young man that's been very, very thorough, very coachable, you know, very detailed in everything he's doing. So he has a tremendous upside, and we're excited about the progress he's made.
Mike, how does that happen? You know, you've got two guys, because I know you consider both D and Tremont starters, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tremont slips through the cracks and struggles to find a NFL home. You guys pick him up, and now he's become a Pro Bowl level guy. Shields goes through the draft, doesn't get drafted, and has played pretty darn well for you. I mean, is that just proof of what an inexact science this is, or how does that happen?
Well, I think it is. I mean, it's you know, sometimes during the evaluation period, you know, certain tangibles factors get weighed more than they probably should or shouldn't. So in both their cases, it definitely holds true. But you have to give credit to the players and to the coaches. I mean, and I swear by our off-season program, the way we approach it. And Tremont's, you know, he's definitely a testament of a young player coming in here, you know, bringing his notebook and pen and maximizing every opportunity he's given, and now he's blossomed into an excellent player. So, and we look for Sam to follow the path that Tremont has blazed for him.
Mike, getting back to Peterson, he had 131 against you guys the first time, but you won the game. But does that number need to come down?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's if when you have a chance to talk to Dom Capers, I mean, that's the first thing he'll talk about with the run defense. It's the first thing we talk about is the defense every week. And, you know, the fact that they have the success running the football here in the first game, you know, we had the injury to Cullen Jenkins there before kickoff, too. So we're going to be healthier than we were in that game. But no, our run defense has to be much better this week.
It would help to have a pick. Are you mildly optimistic that you might have him? Is it better with you tomorrow?
I'm optimistic that the Ryan will practice tomorrow. So, and from that, you know, we'll see where we are.
As well as you know, Brett, what do you expect out of him Sunday, given the Vikings' entire situation?
Well, I think any time Brett Favre takes the field, he's, you know, he gives your football team a chance to win. So, I expect to see, you know, see him play the way he's always played. So, he's a true competitor. I mean, his what he's established in this league speaks for itself.